If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the chapter is 3, and the verses are 1 through 4. That is going to be our scriptural text on this morning, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Growing up, my parents made sure to teach me right from wrong. They made sure to put an emphasis on doing well in school. They made sure to put an emphasis on working hard. They taught me a number of lessons that I am thankful for. There were things that I knew not to engage in because I wasn't raised that way. But that didn't necessarily mean that I wouldn't engage in them, and there were consequences for having made those poor choices. But I knew better because of the guidance I had received. Now, I love my parents, and I appreciate the effort that they put forth to make me a decent person in this world. But I could have been what the world considered a stand-up guy and still have been unknown to the Lord. You see, man can raise us to be one thing, but the Lord can raise us to be something better. And that something better is a Christian with an eternal home with Him. Paul records for us that Christians have been raised with Christ. And when he speaks of that being raised with Christ, he is speaking raised from the watery grave of baptism, and we were raised for a purpose. So with these things in mind, this morning we will be studying the subject, raised to be raised. Raised to be raised. And there are three things that I'd like to bring to our attention regarding this topic, raised to be raised. Three things, and then the lesson is yours. The first of which is found in the book of Romans. The chapter is 6, and the verses are 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We are buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Ladies and gentlemen, to be raised with Christ is to first be buried with Christ. To be raised with Christ is to first be buried with Christ. Now I want us to consider Christ's death and burial. Jesus came into this world in order to save sinners, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verses 15, where Paul says just that, that God, Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom He considered Himself chief or foremost. How was He going to do that? How was He going to save sinners? How is Jesus going to accomplish His purpose to save mankind? Well, of course, He was going to accomplish this by living a perfect and sinless life and thereby dying an undeserved death. Jesus gave His life in order for us to receive life. And that knowledge moved 3,000 souls to respond to the gospel call and obey it on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 41. Having Christ's death confirmed by having a soldier's spear driven into His side, He was then given over to one of His disciples in order to be buried, according to John chapter 19, the verses 34 and 38. And we understand that you don't bury the living. You bury the dead. And Christ's lifeless body was bound with a linen cloth and spices and laid in a new tomb, according to John 19, verses 40 through 42. So Christ had a death and a burial, and the sinner is to also have a death and a burial. Before any sinner can be buried with Christ, they must first be willing to die for Christ. They must be willing to die to this world and a life of sin in order to receive life from Christ. This is called repentance. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 26, and the verse is 20. Acts the chapter is 26, And the verse is 20. There the Bible reads, "But declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance." Ladies and gentlemen, we can either die in sin or we can die to sin. The decision to give up sin and no longer walk in it, to turn away from sin and to turn and be guided by God, is true repentance. Christ died and was buried. We too must be willing to die and be buried, but our burial is not in a tomb as Jesus' burial was. Our burial is in water. When we look at that word baptize, it comes from the Greek word baptizo, which literally means to immerse or to submerge. So immersion in water is where the sinner can meet the blood of Christ and be cleansed by the blood of Christ from each and every sin we have committed. Paul addresses the Colossians' death in the last three verses of chapter 2. And in our scriptural text, he speaks of the benefit of dying, being buried, and being raised with Christ. And having been raised with Christ, we have been given a new life in Christ. People in the religious world will argue that baptism is a work and that man is not saved by works, but instead by God's grace. Therefore, baptism is not necessary for salvation. This is what the world teaches in regards to the topic of baptism. And first of all, God does expect good works, because works are how we display our faith. And that is the message that James tells us in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Second, those who believe that we are saved by grace are absolutely right. We are saved by God's grace through faith, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8. And baptism is a work, but they are mistaken in who they attribute that work to. If we look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we see exactly who this work of baptism is attributed to. Colossians, the chapter is 2, and the verses are 11 and 12. There the Bible reads, "In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he is able also to work in our lives and raise us up from the dead as well. And we are expected to seek the things where Christ is, and we are expected to walk in a newness of life. So before we are raised with Christ, and to be raised with Christ, we have to first be buried with Christ. We have to first be buried as Christ was buried. Rise up. That is what baptism is all about. It's symbolic of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We die to this world. We are buried in the watery grave of baptism, and we rise up to walk in newness of life. Our second point is going to be found in Colossians chapter 3, and the verse is 2, our scriptural text. But we're going to focus on that second verse, Colossians 3, 2. "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So to be raised with Christ is to first be buried with Christ. And our second point this morning is this: to be raised with Christ is to have our minds raised also. To be raised with Christ is to have our minds raised also. The scriptures tell us that we are to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, we cannot only be concerned and consumed with the things of this world. That's the message that Paul is getting across to us. We cannot only be concerned with and consumed with the things of this world. Of course, we are going to have things in this world that concern us, like our spouse, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and the verses 33. Our children are going to be of concern to us, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 4. Providing for our family is going to be of concern to us, according to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But as Christ instructs us in Luke 14 and the verse is 26, we are to love everything in this life, including ourselves, less than we love him and less than we love doing His will. Things that are above must be of utmost importance to us, because missing out on heaven is missing out on all there is. What in this life is worth missing heaven? Some people might make strong arguments for this case, but the truth is nothing. There is nothing that this life, that we can gain in this life, that will substitute what God has planned for those who are faithful to Him and all He has prepared for those who live the lives that He wants them to live and spend an eternity with Him in heaven. Brethren, we must have our minds focused and set on spiritual things. That's what Paul is getting across here. That's what God wants us to understand from this verse. We have to focus and set our minds on spiritual things. Heaven is the goal. Christ is the prize. But both will not be attained if we do not raise our minds to focus on spiritual things. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse is 17. And the Word of God makes it clear that we are to act, speak, and think differently. We are to have a different focus and a better master, that being the Lord. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6, and the verses are 19 and 20. Matthew, the chapter is 6, and the verses are 19 and 20. Listen to the words of Christ, starting in verse 19. Now, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Christ instructs us to lay up our treasures where they cannot be destroyed. The only place our treasures cannot be destroyed is in heaven. In the days of Christ, precious metals and clothing were what was considered treasures. And that can still be the case today. But earthly possessions that we acquire here and now can be destroyed and can be stolen. You know, when I was younger, I remember seeing a house being built, right? Being in a house, I always felt, hey, you know what? We're secure. Everything is good. But I remember seeing a house being built, and it kind of blew my mind. I said, that's it? 2x4s, wood, stucco, drywall. I mean, you know, when we had to, you know, do reconstruction or you know, redo a room or something, we had to tear down walls. It surprised me how easy it was. If a thief wants to get into our house, basically, what I'm saying is, if a thief wants to get into our house, they're going to get in, right? If someone wants to steal our possessions, if they want them bad enough, they're going to steal our possessions. You know, they have banks and vaults that you know, are basically robber-proof, right? But robbers still find a way to get into them. Robbers still find a way to beat the system. Things here and now on this earth, our possessions here and now, no matter how secure we may feel they are, can still be stolen and can still be ruined. But laying up treasures in heaven should be the priority of our daily thoughts. Because in heaven, our treasure cannot be stolen. In heaven, our treasure cannot be ruined. But instead, it is truly secure. So we might be asking ourselves, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, the answer to that is by living as God teaches us to live. And we know how we are to live when we give this the time and the importance that it deserves. As Christians, or as those who desire to follow God, we must follow His Word. We must be instructed by His Word. In our Bible study this morning, we talked of the emphasis that people place on the words of men. The emphasis people place on the Pope or the priest or the pastor or the preacher or the elder, or whatever the case may be. Some men do guide in a righteous direction, guide in a direction, but in doing so, they always point to God's Word. And that's where we must look. We must look to God, we must look to His Word, so we know, we must give His Word the importance and the time that it needs, so we know how we can live the lives that God wants us to live, and we can know how we can raise our minds to the level that God wants them to be. So, to be raised with Christ is to first be buried with Christ. To be raised with Christ is to have our minds raised also. And our third and final point on this morning comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians. The chapter is 4, and the verses are 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians, the chapter is 4. And we'll go ahead and actually start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. To be raised with Christ is to first be buried with Christ. To be raised with Christ is to have our minds raised also. And our third and final point is is when Christ appears, those raised will be raised. When Christ appears, those raised will be raised. Those who have risen from the watery grave of baptism and lived faithful lives will rise to meet the Lord in the air. At that time of His coming, the Lord will rise. Christians who have died to the Lord up from the grave. This is what Paul was speaking of at the end of verse 16, where he says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then all faithful Christians, those living and those now risen from the dead, will rise to meet the Lord in the air and always be with the Lord from that moment on. Raised to be raised. God raised us from the watery grave of baptism in order to raise us up to meet the Lord and forever be with Him in heaven. That was why God made heaven. God made heaven so we can spend eternity with Him. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but those who rebel against the Lord, those who choose not to live faithfully to the Lord, will share the fate of the devil and his angels. And we have to understand that not all who are raised with Christ will be raised in the end. Just because someone has been baptized into Christ does not guarantee they will be raised in the end to meet Christ in the air. God expects faithfulness to Him. God expects a lifetime of faithfulness to Him. We must be faithful to God. We must choose to put Him first. We must choose to make spiritual things be the forefront and the importance of our minds and our hearts. And we must strive to do so on a daily basis. God expects loyalty to the King of Kings and the way He commands us to live. Those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ and are expected to keep on Christ. We must understand that this means that Christians, as Romans 6 verse 4 says, rise to walk in newness of life and must continue that walk in newness of life. We are expected to always walk in such a way. Those who walk in newness of life after being baptized and do so all the days of our lives will have been raised to be raised once again. We have to understand again, God expects loyalty. He expects faithfulness. He expects to be number one in our lives. He expects us to love everything in this life less than we love Him. Love everything in this life less than we love doing His will. That might be difficult at times, but God is clear that it will be worth it in the end. It will be worth it to have a home with Him in heaven. It will be worth it to have lived a faithful life and in the day of judgment to be raised and meet Christ in the air. It will be worth it. It might seem at times that this life is difficult. It might seem at times that this life is too difficult to live the lives that God wants us to live, but we have to understand that it is possible. It is not impossible to do the things God wants us to do. It is not impossible to live the life God wants us to live. I want us to turn our attention back to our scriptural text and look at verses 3 and 4. Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Because we have died to the world and chosen to live faithfully to Christ, our life is hidden with Christ. But what does Paul mean by this statement, our life is hidden with Christ in God? Well, our lives are hidden to a world that rejects Christ. And because the world rejects Christ, they do not understand why we choose to live distinctly different from it. As Christians, that's often, the thing that people point out, right? That we think, well, why do we do this? Why don't we do that? I mean, why do we live to everything that the Bible says? Why do we do everything that the Bible says? Why are we following this book so strictly? Because that's what God expects. Not following this book strictly and just following it nonchalant and having a whatever type of attitude in following God leads to so many people falling away, right? Leads to so many people thinking that they're doing the will of God, thinking that they're living the lives that God wants them to live, thinking that they're worshiping Him in the way that He wants them to be worshipped, but they are mistaken. When we follow God's Word, the way He wants us to follow it, He has given us everything in it for a reason, right? He has given us everything that we read for a reason. There is not one verse in God's Word that is misplaced. There is not one verse that we need that's from some other source that we need in this book, and there's nothing in this book that we don't need. We need everything, and we need to follow God's Word the way He wants us to follow it. But to the world, that seems odd. To the world, that seems weird that we have chosen to live distinctly different from the world. But those who overcome the cares and opinions of man, those who overcome the sufferings in this life, and strive to make Christ our life, will be gloriously rewarded upon His return. That's what we have to understand. Is that if we have been raised from the watery grave of baptism, we will be raised to meet the Lord in the air if we live faithfully to Him. It's conditional. Heaven is conditional. A relationship, a right relationship with God is conditional. We have to make the choice whether or not we are going to live the lives that God wants us to live. Whether or not we are going to fully commit the way God wants us to fully commit. Because God has already done His part. God has done His part in providing us a way to be right with Him. God has provided us a way to overcome the cares of this world, overcome the distractions of this world. But we have to be faithful to Him. We have to do our part in living the lives that He wants us to live and do so for the rest of our lives as well. So where do you stand on this morning? Have you been raised from the watery grave of baptism? Have you been deceived into thinking that this is not necessary for salvation? Because the Scriptures clearly teach that it is. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 21 says that baptism doth also now save us. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that is part of God's plan to save your soul. And we encourage you to do so on this morning. If you don't have a right relationship with God, that's how you have it. That's how you begin your walk as a Christian. By hearing God's Word, which you have done on this morning. By believing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Repenting, turning away from sin, and turning to God to be guided in your life. By confessing Christ to be the Son of God. By being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And rising up to walk in newness of life. And maybe you're here, and you are a Christian, you've already done the things that are part of that plan. You've heard, you believed, you've repented, you've confessed, you've been baptized, you've been risen from that watery grave of baptism. Maybe you have been distracted in this life. Maybe you haven't walked in newness of life, as the Scriptures clearly teach that we should. You have an opportunity as well on this morning to make things right. You know, we never know if tomorrow will come. But we also never know if we'll see the rest of this day. We never know if the next second, the next minute, the next hour will be here. Or if we'll be alive to see it. So we need to make things right with God now while we have the opportunity. If that is by becoming a Christian, then that's what you need to do while the opportunity is present. If it is making things right with God because you have fallen away or you've lived a life of sin or you've allowed sin to distract you, you need to make things right with God as well. We all are subject to the temptations of Satan. But we also all are subject to the grace and mercy from God. He is willing to forgive us if we are willing to confess our sins to Him. He is willing to forgive us if we are willing to admit our fault and make things right before it's eternally and everlasting too late. So wherever you are on this morning, we ask that you make a wise-hearted decision. Well, together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.